Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Welcome to the Pete Zimmerman birthday show. Pete's birthday is today. I got him.
He loved that right away.
I got him eggplant. So I got him a gift card for eggplant. From the eggplant hut. From Just Eggplant. New listener, you don't know what that means? It'll all be in the book.
The best part about that, Steve, is I mentioned it to him, and I said, happy birthday. He's like, yeah, I'm hoping nobody says anything.
He's low-key in it.
First thing.
Well, his birthday is tomorrow, but when you burn on Saturday, we got to celebrate you on Friday.
Yeah, I'm not doing a show.
That's what happened to me, so we had to do it on Friday.
I'm not doing a show tomorrow. Yeah. Pete, it's your birthday today.
I hope nobody
happy
sees
birthday,
it.
Pete.
I hope nobody cares.
Yes. Happy birthday. That's a big one, too. He's 33 today.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah. Getting old. Mark Carmen's here.
Hi, Steve. I signed Pete's card.
Congratulations.
It's a very nice card. Very elaborate.
What is on fire?
That would be the birthday.
We're doing this now?
Yes, it's part of the top six, Steve Cochran. As discussed.
Yeah. Hey, Pete didn't want to make a big deal. We need a caller. Lou Manfredini, 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Get in line now if you want to be Pete's guy or girl. And Pete's guy or girl. Lou's guy or girl to ask
me
questions.
What's Pete gonna do?
That's your birthday present. You get a listener.
You get a free listener for the weekend. All right, let's
shovel
do it.
Your sidewalk.
Top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, three Chicago cops accused of covering up Laquan McDonald's killing, including possibly stealing or taking or messing with a videotape that could have caught a different angle of the shooting. All acquitted yesterday on each disputed point. And, the jury saw it. The judge and the jury have made a decision, and there you go.
Well, the jury was the Van Dyke. This was a bench trial. It was just the judge. And it's interesting that she went in an entirely different direction than the jury. And remember that cartoon video that was in the Van Dyke trial? Mm-hmm. She sided with that cartoon.
The animation.
Yeah, the animation. Sorry, not the animation. Yeah. The 3D, the cool, yeah. Cool animation.
Something we should talk to Conti about. I don't even know why that's recognized in court, because you have animators. I don't care how good the computer technology is. Yeah. It's a projection of what may have happened based on things that are...
Well, that's what she used to say, you don't know what it was like to be in the head of a police officer.
Well, that's true.
In that moment. So to act as if they falsified and created a conspiracy to cover up something that they actually felt cannot be proven.
Item number two. Quack. Quack. There you go. Ducks afraid of the snow. 6 to 10 inches of snow in the Chicago area. Travel headache for the commute starting late this afternoon into tonight, through tomorrow, and into tomorrow night. I had such big plans for Saturday. It's all over now.
What are we going to do?
I really didn't have big plans. Today's a big day, though. Amy Cochran is closing on her first home.
This is so exciting.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm very excited
for her.
Very
cool. Yeah, so way to go.
You know what? That's tough timing.
Yeah.
Because if she would have waited till Monday, she would not be on the hook for the snow that she has to shovel off the front of her sidewalk.
I think she lives in a community where they're going to take care of it. But the nice, I'm going to bring her in for a session on how to tell people it's time to leave your house.
We got to hand out some of those wristbands use
like
at parties.
First on the agenda.
First on the agenda. Here's how you get your dad and mom out when you're ready for them to leave so you can get some couch.
But first, really, you got to have them paint and everything. Have you painted the house for an hour?
She's not moving in for a couple weeks. So
so you don't have to do the big move yet.
Oh, we got
to
speed this up. We got a candle burning. Like, it's like you're under the race, under the gun.
How did I miss this meeting? Yeah. How did I not know we were doing this?
I've told you a couple of times.
Next, a day after Speaker Pelosi asked President Trump to delay a State of the Union address, President Trump did the grown-up thing. No, he didn't. President Trump canceled a military plane that was scheduled to take Pelosi and a congressional delegation, a CODEL, to various stops. And one of the stops included Afghanistan. And generally speaking, you don't want to tell Afghanistan you're coming. It makes it very dangerous for the people who are. So Pelosi and Congressman Schiff and a whole bunch of other Congress folks you wouldn't know all got grounded in D.C. yesterday as the childish nonsense
continues. They were on a bus, right?
Continues. Yeah, the bus. You know what's funny thing? The bus had reporters coming towards the bus, so the bus didn't let the congresspeople off. They took a lap. They kept around. Moving around so the congresspeople couldn't catch them.
My favorite part about that story is a terrible story, but the idea, there was a six-day trip. So think of all the packing and the luggage that a congressman... Imagine if you were about to go
planning.
On a six-day trip, and you're like, I got all my stuff. Do I have enough toothpaste? Do I
want to
bring two shirts, one shirt? And they get on the thing, like, you're not going.
Yeah, the timing of this, too, the president made the announcement. He'd made this decision 45 minutes before the plane was supposed to take off.
That's not coincidental.
Good news, I've added a second candle to the treat, so I've extended, I bought you some time, Steve.
It's good news, because
this is important.
Well, likelihood, I'm not likely to get to item six for a while. deadly attack, another terrible story. A deadly attack in Colombia. 21 people were killed and 68 wounded when a car bomb exploded outside a police academy in Bogota yesterday. That's either an incredibly large bomb that nobody saw or a cluster of bombs, because that's amazing that many people were taken out in that manner. Terrible. Awful.
There's a lot going on in Central America.
President Trump on Thursday endorsed an updated effort to detect and intercept missiles bound for the U.S., evoking Ronald Reagan's 1983 Star Wars program. This is distraction number 9,893, because the biggest story involving President Trump actually happened about 10 o'clock last night when BuzzFeed and two really good reporters came forward with a story that said specifically that President Trump asked or ordered Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. It's called suborning perjury. Pardon me. It's called suborning perjury. And it is impeachable. It's also illegal. And it puts the president back on the hook of, can you indict a president? And puts him much further into the circle of, is he a crook? Boy, that's going to be a shock if we found out that's true.
Yeah, and the BuzzFeed story says this is not just Michael Cohen saying this. Apparently, Mueller has other corroborating witnesses on this incident.
Right, and if you're wondering why Michael Cohen hasn't talked about it yet, well, that's coming up on February 7th. When he testifies to Congress about why he lied to Congress and who told him to lie to Congress.
I'm sorry, I lied to you.
Who told you to lie to you? Lie to me.
No comment.
Lie to us.
I cannot remember.
Does it rhyme with Trump?
You know,
I'm going to have to bring up a third candle on this birthday treat over here.
So, a full fire has broken out in front of Pete for his birthday. And finally, it's Pete's birthday. Yay! And do you really hate talking about your birthday?
I just don't like to be the center of attention.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Same way.
Got some flop sweat going on right now.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, Joe.
Was this this is an important birthday? Do you have big plans for your birthday?
No, not really. Well, I don't. My wife is taking care of everything. Tonight we're going to a little concert.
And well, I want to skip ahead to the blowing. We are literally
short people in the concert. You said it's a little concert. What kind of concert is it?
It's a Sarah Shook and the Disarmers.
Oh yeah,
Sarah Shook. Very good.
Yeah. But you just blow that thing out.
Blow, Pete. Blow.
Hold on. I had a couple more questions.
All right.
Just trying to make Sandberg nuts.
All right,
Pete. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
And Pete, I have a birthday card for you and a small gift in my car. And since I forgot to bring it up, you get to keep the Tahoe. Just going to give you the title.
Thank you.
All right. How about that?
I have the keys. And we'll sing happy birthday to you and make you even more uncomfortable later.
Thank you.
Every hour on the hour.
312-981-7200. If you have a question for Lou Manfredini, there is still room for you to get in. 312-981-7200. As Pete blows out the candles. We'll come back to this. Carms, you look confused.
I just want to let everybody know that Pete walked in on his birthday and handed me a card.
Well, that's interesting.
I mean, I'm like, well,
was it a card he wanted you to sign for him?
That's what I was thinking. He gave me a card for the engagement.
Oh,
like,
great.
No one's
that's
ever
so
given
nice.
Me. No,
it's an engagement card?
Yeah. I mean, like,
wow.
What a thoughtful gentleman.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever consider doing something like
that. Well, it's very nice of you. But you don't know this, but his wife is a professional artist who actually makes cards, and he's got crap all over the house.
Okay.
He's just trying to
regardless, there's probably, you can find, I'm sure Carm's got cards in his house.
Right.
It's just the sentiment for him to actually go, you know, I'm going to give a card to Carm. I'm so happy for his life change.
Who does that? Birthday
who
Pete.
Does that?
Birthday Pete.
I didn't
That's
do
it.
That.
Just
no
birthday
one does
Pete.
That.
And stop bringing up Pete's birthday.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
627, Lou Manfredini live at Channel 9. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
How much do snow shovels cost at Ace Hardware right now?
Oh, everything went up 10%.
10?
You're like Uber.
No. I figure it's like plywood in Miami. They're $75.50.
Right. No, we do not gouge. Shovels start as low as $12.99.
They don't call it gouging anymore. It's surge pricing.
Right.
Oh, right.
It's like
right.
Uber.
Right, exactly. That's a good one. That's surge pricing, yeah.
Why doesn't Uber do an Uber plow? The guy comes to your house and then they plow.
Actually, there is a service. I talked about him on the radio. It's called Plows.
I heard you talk about that, Lou.
Yeah.
There you go.
Really smart.
Right up. Yeah.
Really smart. You can get an app, and if you're, and this is, I mean,
so you don't have to sign up for a whole winter. You can do it on a case by case basis.
Case by case. And so all of a sudden, if you get hit with a ton of snow, this guy out of Syracuse, New York, invented this thing because landscapers who, you know, rely on this during the winter to keep their people working, all of a sudden you're driving by somebody's house and you're doing a driveway up the street and you're like, man, I wish I could get that plow. You beep boop up on your phone and then they come by and
what
you
do?
Beep boop up.
Okay. Beep boop up.
Yeah, well, if you beep boop up on your phone, something ought to happen.
Right, exactly.
That's
cool
good. And by the way, in Syracuse, it snows from June 1st to June 1st.
You would know that.
Yes.
It just snows like crazy.
I understand why it would have been invented there.
Yeah.
We have our first caller for Lou. This is where we have a first caller, not a last caller, and not a caller during, because the first caller for Lou gets to get in. Otherwise, you try to call tomorrow, forget about it. Those people are on a waiting list. It's years long. Mark and Carrie. Good morning, Mark. Excellent, Mark. How are you? Terrific.
Maybe he didn't like you calling him the first caller.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lose for the
call. Mark, are you with me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just
Hey, Steve, adjust. It's me. It's Mark and Carrie.
Wait, can somebody move the phone further away from Steve?
Hi, Mark. Are you there? Mark,
yeah,
are you there?
There you go.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, turn your radio down for me, if you would, please.
Sure.
All right, sorry. Mark, and have your window down halfway and put your right leg behind your head.
And turn your head around.
Mark, sorry about that delay. Go ahead and ask your question.
No problem. Good morning.
Hi.
So my question is this. I just refinished another bathroom in my house. Very timely. Got it buttoned up the night before Christmas Eve when we had people over for dinner.
Everybody loves a deadline.
Yeah, you know, that's how I work best. The flooring we put in is a really pretty marble, very intricate little pieces with a pretty design. But my question is this. How often do I have to seal it, and what should I use to clean it?
All right, Mark, hold on, and if we never talk again, know that it's not your fault. Stand by.
Marble is a terrific surface, but it's very soft, and so making sure you're cleaning it and sealing it is super important. There is an old-time brand, a Chicago-based company called Lund Mark, L-U-N-D-M-A-R-K, and they make a stripper, a cleaner, and a polish for marble. It's a three-step process. It has been the industry standard for marble for as long as I can remember. If you go to your local hardware store, if they don't have it in stock, they can get it. And that's what I would use to take care of your marble.
So you can get strippers at Ace Hardware?
You can. You can. We have many different kinds. We have some that are caustic and some that are citrus-based.
It's interesting. I ran into both of those on a golf trip once.
Right.
Texter writes from the 630, it's Pete's birthday. Just wanted to make him feel more uncomfortable.
Happy birthday.
Pete's birthday today.
Yeah. He doesn't like that?
He doesn't like to be the center of attention.
Is there anything at Ace Hardware for people who don't like their birthday?
Yeah, we have a birthday extractor.
Oh, fantastic. Could you work Pete's birthday into your Channel 9 segment this morning?
I can try.
Well, it's either a yes or a no. I mean, you're a professional.
Of course.
TV, it's hard.
All right, so it's Pete Zimmerman.
Pete, I got that.
Zimmerman. The yeah. P is silent in Zimmerman.
He also goes by Zippy.
Zippy.
If that's easier for you to say.
How about that? I'll tell you what, right at the beginning, big happy birthday. Right when I start with Rob, big happy birthday to Zippy.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to have to call his wife at home and have her set the DVR.
Or turn the TV on.
And then make the people at Channel 9 nuts and just go, remember, every Friday I like to do birthday shout-outs during this segment.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right.
Stripper, a cleaner, and a polish. Sounds like Carmen's bachelor party to me. That's another 630 fixed.
It's going to be good.
You know, Carmen is engaged, right?
Hey, yeah, I didn't know you were there, Carmen. Congratulations.
Hey, Lou.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful news.
Well, it's not such good news for the girl.
Oh, sure it is. He's a fine man.
Thanks, Lou.
Mark from Cary gets an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows him to adjust the temperature of his home's air on his smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. 6-year-old texter says, our friends bought a home. A few months later, the 50-year-old well pump failed. They called a contractor to repair or replace it. The contractor told them he was called to the home before and the home was listed and advised the seller the pump was shot and needed to be replaced. Yeah, you like my read on this so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. The seller instructed him to do a minimal repair to keep it running long enough to sell the home. Should the seller have disclosed this? And we'll be back on the People's House Court.
You know, that's an interesting, I don't know that, I would imagine that mechanical issues like that do need to be disclosed. However, if it was repaired, it was repaired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that isn't something I think it's a great area.
Because they couldn't guarantee it was going to fail.
Correct, right. Unless you got a home warranty or anything like that when you purchase the home. I mean, you do have a list of things that have to be disclosed in the sale of a home, and mechanical ones are like that. And so if I had a pump that was failing and I had it repaired, then it was repaired.
So it's like Eugene Levy might say, you're up Schitt's Creek.
That's not how you say it. Yeah, all right.
Is that out of context?
That's
I got to go.
Oh, I'm sorry for people.
Time for me to go.
I'm sorry for people that don't know. It's S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that when you said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have said up S-H**** Yeah. Creek.
Do you know Schitt's Creek has no Shih Tzus living on either side of it? Did you know that?
Is today your last day?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the one thing we got going on for us is no one's working at the FCC because they're all furloughed.
It's a government.
Yeah, no one's working Fridays because it's Friday.
You think Steve doesn't know that?
Right.
No, it's a television show and a dog breed, and you people are filthy.
Got it.
Thank you for being on.
Love you.
Okay, love you back. Bye. I like how that shocked Lou. It's 6:34. We're back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
Teaching you a little bit about how the big shots get it done. Who's our big shot today, Justin?
Jason Zenger is our guest on the Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. He, of course, Zenger's was a longtime hardware store founded in 1951. Jason has taken his family's business and turned it into really a leader in the manufacturing industry. And what he does and what we're going to talk about, and I think was a brilliant idea, is that he has joined forces with another member of the manufacturing industry to make a podcast called Making Chips. And it's a podcast to talk about some of the things that are happening in manufacturing and letting people know about the advances and some of the challenges that happen in that industry. And Jason joins us now. Jason, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, I mean, this idea of merging social media and merging podcasts into a real traditional business like manufacturing, where does it come from?
Well, I mean, I think there's such a convergence of all different types of businesses out there. And what we've done is we've taken the whole notion of, say, radio in the form of a podcast, and we've brought that as a niche platform for the manufacturing industry. And now we've taken that company and we've turned it into also a marketing company specifically for manufacturing companies. So I think that there's just the the lines have blurred between, you know, the different industries, and it's kind of interesting to see how you can, you know, create a new business for a very specific customer base.
The TV stars, John Ratzenberger from Cheers, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, have both pushed not just Made in America, but manufacturing and trying to teach kids jobs in manufacturing. Do you guys get into any of that?
We do. I mean, one of the things that we talk about is so our the making chips is there to equip and inspire manufacturing leaders. And one of the biggest challenges in manufacturing is getting the younger demographic excited about the manufacturing industry. It's not the the old dirty factories that people used to think about. It's robotics, it's automation, it's clean shop floors. And one of the things that we talk about is how we inspire manufacturing leaders all across the country to get their local markets and their kids in high school and even, you know, junior high excited about the manufacturing industry, because it really is an exciting industry. And, to be quite honest, I think it's the reason that our country is as prosperous as it is.
Yeah, it's interesting too, Jason, because you'll hear in manufacturing, like you said, sometimes gets a bad rap because generations before know it as something completely different. When you're creating a podcast and you're talking about the issues and talking about leadership in that sector, I would assume that getting awareness is a big part of what you do with making chips and the manufacturing sector.
Awareness is huge. And, you know, we're just one part of, you know, many, many other partners that are out there really trying to get this message of what new manufacturing is all about. And we're, you know, partnering up with other organizations. One of the biggest conventions in the entire world, called the International Manufacturing Technology Show, is in Chicago every 2 years, and we spoke on stage at that convention every day. I mean, it is a gigantic show, and we're just part of the formula to bring the message out about manufacturing, how much fun it is, how challenging it is, but it's just a great career to be in nowadays.
Jason, you were speaking about how young people don't know about how manufacturing isn't their dads in manufacturing or their grandpas. Were you one of those young people 20 years ago? Like, did you want to go into this?
No, to be quite honest with you, I studied engineering in college, and I had no idea what my dad did. And it just became an opportunity that I couldn't pass up to try. So I had no idea. It wasn't something that was on the radar. It wasn't something that my family pushed. And, you know, I'm doing that same thing with my family. I'm just introducing them, you know, to what their options are. I mean, I took my daughter to, you know, the IMTS show at 4 years old, and, you know, she thought that the robotics were amazing. And I've taken my sons there, and they think the same thing. And so it's one of the things where I think, you know, people need to follow their passions, but they need to be introduced to what the different options are out there, like the manufacturing industry.
Jason, you know, your family and your name and the companies that you own and even talk about in the podcast have long ties to Chicago. Chicago's been up and down with manufacturing over the years. What does it mean to be a Chicago company, to be in this area, in the Chicagoland areas in manufacturing?
Yeah, I mean, so my wife and I and our four kids, we live in Chicago. We love Chicago. My wife's actually from Texas. Well, she traveled around being in a military family, but Chicago's our home, and we actually acquired a company called Black Industrial and Safety Supply, which started off on the south side of Chicago in 1893. So my wife is the third owner of that business, and so we definitely have some strong roots here in Chicago. As you mentioned, you know, Zenger started in 1951. I'm third generation of that business, and between that, you know, the way we look at it is that we have, you know, just under 50 families that rely on my wife and I that live here in the Chicagoland area.
I have strong memories of going to work with my dad occasionally. He was a tool and die guy, a machinist.
Yes.
And, you know, the smell and the camaraderie and the voices ringing around the factory floor of, hey, watch it, kids, step back, you know.
Yes,
but you're a good man. You're a good man for talking about it, keeping it going. Where do we find the podcast?
If you go to makingchips.com, you'll find the podcast there. You can also go on iTunes and the other popular podcast players and search for Making Chips. You can also search my last name, Zenger, and it should come up there as well.
All right. Keep up the good work, man. I know why you're up early, because you're working for a living. Thank you for that.
I've also got kids that wake up early.
Well, there's that, too. Thanks, there's Jason. That, too. Justin?
Jason Zenger.
And thanks to Jason.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is always a pleasure to have the world's greatest guest. Live in studio, General John Borling is here. And we'll get into detail with General Borling on several things. But first, General Borling, you're a lucky guy to have been married all these years. And if you look to your left and my right, down at the end of the desk here, Mark Carman, our sports genius this morning. Mark Carman got engaged last weekend. So do you have any marital advice for him?
I would urge you just to learn the phrase "yes, dear," and stand and be prepared to quake when you hear the two words that no man can cope with, and that's when the wife says, "And there's nothing that can be done," and she says, "Do something,
do something."
Thank
wow.
you, General. Thank you, General. I appreciate it.
And by the way, "do something" can come with different inflections.
Right,
it can be "do something" or "do something." And by the way, those two things mean completely different things.
Yeah, I think I'm more conditioned for the hysterical one, Steve. So,
do you know Rosetta Stone, the language app and tape series?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have one for wives.
Wife speak is not in there.
It's not in there.
An unfair advantage, but you're going to enjoy it. It's great. You know?
How many years?
55 for me.
God bless.
I'm 56, yeah.
God bless you.
Wow.
Still over your skis after all these years.
Well, we are.
I've met your lovely wife. You're lucky she's let you hang around.
I will second that, and she would third it and fourth it and fifth it. But we're up in Rockford, and I came south for the weather here for a couple of days.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Well, checking tan lines, not working out real good. You know.
More General Borling coming up. We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, SOS America, the Lincoln Academy of Illinois, and I'll ask him some stuff about real world events going on right under our noses. In the meantime. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where you're going to find Steve Grzanich next.
About that time, they come back in the door and they see I'm there and they go crazy and they're working on me, beating on me, and they're ripping this stuff out of my hands. And the last thing they rip out of my hands is an envelope and there's a stamp on it. And it's a man of the moon. Look, I tell that story now. I get chills right now.
I can feel it,
because of that. In about a week, 10 days later, when I got back in circulation, I tapped on the wall. We own the moon.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Fly me to the moon.
One of the most amazing stories in a lifetime of great things and tough things that have all led to a lifetime of fabulous stories from the life of General John Borling, who's here. You look fabulous. You are fabulous, and it's always a pleasure to have you here.
I didn't realize this was going to be a testimonial breakfast. I mean, I thought we were going to come in.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like we're saying goodbye to you. We're just glad you're here.
Well, so pleased to be here. You know, we're in town for the Lincoln Academy. You mentioned that in the spin-up. And Lincoln Academy of Illinois, for people that are not familiar with it, is a really wonderful institution that recognizes those Illinoisans who've done things for the betterment of humanity across a variety of disciplines, be it the law or medicine or business. Or
how are people nominated? How do you come up with the names?
Well, the Lincoln Academy structure that the governor, and it goes all the way back 50-plus years, to Governor Kerner, nominates trustees. So we're all trustees. And then from the trustees, they elect 18 regents, which are charged, if you will, with the management of the Academy Affairs. I'm one of the 18 regents, and that's what brings me to town, because we're having a day and a half meeting here in Chicago, the spring meeting, to go over things. And it is the trustees, and through a series of committees, that people are nominated to become laureates of the Academy. Really a big deal when it's awarded. There's only been about 350 or 60
wow.
of them over the 55 years. And we do that in the spring. It's in Chicago some years. It's Peoria, Springfield, May 18th this year. It was Rockford last year, where Myrna and I were pleased to chair the committee.
So you'll announce this May?
The governor announces and makes the official announcement of who it's going to be. And that's, I think, already public, but I don't want to steal a bolt from the governor.
Sure.
If it hasn't come out, it should be coming out any time. And then in the fall, that's the May convocation. In the fall, we honor one student from every four-year institution collegiate institution in the state and make them student laureates and kind of charge them up to be responsible citizens, which they already are because they've been nominated by the university.
That's going to make you feel good, too, because I know much like interacting with young folks and seeing what they can and will become.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I was so pleased that a good friend of ours became a trustee recently, and he's just going to be dynamite as part of the trustee faction. And going
can we name him?
Yes, we can.
Mr. Slaby?
Mr. Mark Slaby.
Yeah, that's he's the best.
Yeah, he isn't he great?
He's the best.
I think he was very excited with that honor, too.
Oh, did he? Yeah, well, he's just going to be whiz-banging.
He won't stop talking about it. You know Slaby. It's always about him.
Well, our chancellor, Stephanie Pace Marshall, head of the IMSA, the Illinois Math and Science Academy in her day, right. Now Emerata, if you will, she, but still very much a force, gives up the chain, much like you're one of these medieval potentates, but she's a real down-to-earth lady and a wide traveled, much experienced, and been a great chancellor, first woman. And Ron Spears, who is a federal judge out of Springfield, is going to take over for a three-year tour. So all that's great. And Frank Clark is in the wings to be, you know, we have this business of rotation, and the selection of these guys is a very thoughtful process, and we're about 2 years out. We've already selected for next year, and we're working on the year after that already.
You don't know the word slow or down, do you?
You put it in outboard and keep going. That's the afterburner.
Yeah. General, if I could ask, just you know, you spend a lot of your time working on things that are close to you, in you know, SOS America and the Lincoln Academy, and you mentioned responsible citizenship. And that seems to be something that we want more out of our citizenry when we think about where we are politically and what's how divisive this country becomes. But what does responsible citizenship mean to you?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I wish that the people who we elect to office would negotiate in good with candor and with good intent.
Amen.
In order to do the affairs of the country, state, and nation. But that said, I'm fond of something said by my fourth great mentor, John Gardner. I think I've used it before on the show. I never know if we've gone back over conversations, but
if you're doing the A material, it doesn't matter. Do it again.
It doesn't matter. All right. Well, it's freedom and responsibility, liberty and duty. That's the deal if you're an American.
And you got this in fourth grade?
No, I got that when I was much older and really needed it.
Okay.
You know, I was one of those hard-charging, scarf-in-the-wind fighter pilots and
sure.
Got lucky to be a White House fellow and ran into this guy, John Gardner, who at his memorial service, he's dead now, I miss him terribly, watched President Clinton, one of 30 speakers perhaps at the Washington Cathedral, National Cathedral, say John Gardner was a citizen of our times, and boy, do I commend everything this guy's written. It's wonderful. His book on leadership is, you know, on my bedside table, and I know major CEOs and chairmen in town who keep it in the same place. It's not just for key executives, it's for you and for me.
Right,
it's for responsible citizens.
Well, you should
mention responsible citizens. Yeah.
Freedom, responsibility, and?
Freedom and responsibility, liberty and duty.
Liberty and
duty. That's the deal if you're an American. And the book is on leadership. It's one of four books I've recommended in 30 years. Well, five if we count my own. You know, but
well,
you know,
of course.
You got to be a peddler with a pack here.
Taps on the wall.
Yeah. But then we're off on a little travel for SOS America. We're talking about Naples, going to go south. Just happened to be able to wedge in a golf game or two.
Ah, God bless.
While we're making some
good
speeches
for you.
About, you know, we've talked, and I don't want to sound like Johnny One Note, but you were talking about responsibility and bringing the country together, and everybody in the room here is nodding. I think it comes from shared experiences, shared values, and SOS America is designed with this program of 1 year of military service for young men and young women who volunteer, unless you're otherwise exempted, and you don't have to pass all the stringent tests of physical and mental capability that only allows maybe 15% of America's youth to enter the military, and then for an extended period. But this is a one-year program. It'll take legislation, and we're out trying to increase membership, garner the resources to be able to make the nation aware, and it is supportive. Our polling is great, but
to make it a law, you have to get politicians behind it, and politicians are not the most courageous people in the world, in general. And because of that, we need public support to get behind the idea that all of us would commit a year of our lives to the greater good of America and the benefit of us to work with people who could show us the way.
Sometime between 18 and 26. And if you've ever known him, it's, you know, I knew a guy. He said, gee, I wish I'd spent some time in the military. Or he tells about his father or his uncle who was. But they don't want to give 3 or 4 years. They like to give a year. And as long as the person can physically and mentally take care of themselves, they would be welcome in this program where we'd mix geography, where we'd put them into a small unit. They live in that small unit, train in it, serve in it. It just seems like an overwhelmingly good thing for the kinds of initiatives that nations, especially like America, need to keep reinventing or regenerating, renewing is the term, every generation.
Yeah, freedom isn't free, and this is a minimal responsibility that we all could provide.
And I think it's also important, some kids up until that age, the only thing they've been required to do is school. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like school, you have a negative connotation attached to what you've been for, you know, what your obligations are. And this is an alternative thing to be obligated to do that actually...
Well, and you think around the world. Exactly. And you think around the world, so many developed countries, allies, friends, have mandatory, compulsory service. You've got to go in and serve time. This is something that for a year of your life, you will talk about for the rest of your life because of the benefits you get from it.
It will be one of those things where the self-esteem factor, you know, notching your gun belt is the term I like to use, is going to be there. And you'll be better husbands, fathers, citizens. Now, the exemptions, people would wonder, how do you get exempt? Well, if you can't take care of yourself physically or mentally, that's it. But you won't have to pass any of these strenuous tests.
Yeah, this isn't frontline ops here.
And we want to mix the ages because you're different at 23 or 26 than you are at 18, to go to Mary's point. Of the 10 people who go to college, only about 4.5 graduate. So, you know, there's a stub your toe factor that could be solved by saying, well, I'm going to take my military service now. But if you're a married or if you're a first responder or if you're in the medical or dental track, for example, and there's other categories. That's a growing experience. So you'd be exempted from this program then, unless you wanted to participate in a lot of
You could certainly do both.
You could do both,
Membership is open, and your help is obviously appreciated. You're letting your elected representatives know this is something that matters to you is really crucial. But what's the website to join?
It's www.sosamerica.org. It's a not-for-profit, a 501c4, www.sosamerica.org. And we're redoing the website as we spoke.
But it's active still.
You can join. You can be a sustaining member for $9 a year. You can be a national member for $9 a month, pay annually or monthly, and then there's these executive levels where, you know, we'll take everything you got,
and all the money that comes in is used to help further the message, spread the message, and build a foundation to the program.
No salaries. Everybody's
volunteering.
Everybody's volunteering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When we come back, you are, by the way, about to receive yet another award in your lifetime of awards. You are the most valuable person on the planet today.
My wife might argue with that, but, you know, I'm going to sit here and be properly humble.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to...
I came hat in a hand.
Yeah, I see that. Literally, your hat's in your hand. We're going to combine it with Pete Zimmerman, who normally books this segment, and Pete's birthday is today, but... You know, everybody has a birthday. Not everybody's General John Borley. So stand by. We'll get to that and see if you have any co-winner here.
Yeah, didn't I do my best? And wasn't home here when I left.
Tyler Heap of Iowa is an honorary co-MVPP. Justin, do you know the notes on this? Because he won a... You know,
I do.
Have you got the notes on this? Summarize for me. Can you summarize it in 30 seconds?
He won a $1 scratch-off lottery ticket, and he requested the big, what do they call it, the vanity check?
Yeah, the novelty check,
sorry. And they honored him. with it. And so they gave him a novelty $1
check. I love
check.
That.
I know. That's I went really fun for, of the lottery.
I went looking for a novelty check for the Chicago Accent Challenge. I did a whole search in Chicago for it. And I had a phone conversation with a printer. They couldn't understand what I was looking for. And the quote I got was like $100.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a novelty check. I'm like, I'm not paying $100 for
something.
Well,
where's the lottery office? It's right downtown, right? You should go by the lottery office. I bet they have a room full of them.
That's what I thought. I thought it'd be like they'd have a bunch in the back that nobody ever uses, like at a party store.
Yeah, by the way,
it's the trumpets and the rose petals, I think they may back off of.
Yeah, exactly.
So they wrote the check, and he got to take a picture with it.
That's a great story.
Speaking of
pictures. He spent his winnings on half a gallon of gas, by the way, just so you know.
Speaking of pictures, there's a photo gallery at WGNradio.com, Steve Cochran Show Facebook, and WGN Radio Facebook. Of Pete Zimmerman's birthday from this morning.
And don't mention Pete Zimmerman's birthday to him, because Pete Zimmerman doesn't like to talk about the birthday of Pete Zimmerman. General Borling is here. General John Borling, POW for 8.5 years?
6.5.
6.5 years. Yeah. And Taps on the Wall is a wonderful book talking about the language that we all came to hear more about through the life of Senator John McCain.
True.
Who arrived at the Hanoi Hilton, I think, about 2 years after you got there?
Year after I did. Yeah. John and I got to live together several years later. Yeah.
I always say this, but condolences on the loss of your friend and the loss to America of another great man, John McCain.
Well, we got to continue to march, all of us.
No doubt. You both, through the course of your life, and you certainly as a guy who came up in the service and commanded others, you lost a lot of friends. You lost a lot of good people, a lot of young men who didn't get to be old men. And I'm sad today, as I know you are as well, as we find out the names of three of the four Americans killed in Syria on Wednesday. Cryptech, Shannon Kent, 35, from upstate New York, DOD civilian Scott Wirtz of St. Louis, and Jonathan Farmer, an Army Chief Warrant Officer, from Boynton Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And a fourth American killed was a contractor. We don't have that name yet. I don't even know how to ask you the question, but my question basically is this. Whether it's a Gold Star family or you run into some folks in the military, how do you talk to those of you who've been there and done that and walked the walk about others that have died?
Frankly, it's a little easier if the guys or the gals have been in a combat situation, because they understand it, and you just kind of nod and raise a glass and toast. But word, in most circumstances, it's not like that, and words come hard and are sound empty to the person who's saying them, trying to offer some measure of respect and comfort. If one was to think about what you could really do, let's make it here in Chicago. And you know about Gold Star families. Jim Fraser, by the way, is the head of the Gold Star family. Jim's a good guy. But every year on Memorial Day at the Logan statue, Major General John A. Logan, the founder of Decoration Day / Memorial Day, mm-hmm. It's a couple blocks south of the Hilton. At 11 o'clock, there's a Memorial Day service or Memorial Day ceremony. J.R. Davis, chairman of Davis Bank Corps, Chicago Cultural Mile, I narrate the thing. We have speakers and thoughtful event to mark the passing of America's soldiers who died. And I would say, I'd like you to come with me to Memorial Day at mm-hmm. the Logan statue, and we'll pay our respects in a communal sense and in a very respectful sense that will recognize your loss and loss of so many others that have given to advance the cause of our country.
You mentioned Mr. Fraser. He taught me a great thing. He lost his son.
Yeah, he did.
And he said, what people don't understand is, we know the pain. We experience the pain every day. You're not telling us something we don't know. So simply ask us about our kid.
Yeah.
Let us talk about our kid.
You shouldn't back away from it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's hard right at the kind of in the early days, if you will.
Well, yeah, you want to say the right thing, but you're so you're pressing so hard not to say the wrong thing that maybe you don't say anything.
Well, yeah, that's right. You should say something, and we don't deal with it. Ellery Channing had a line that I use sometimes, and it's, life is eternal and love is immortal, and death is only an horizon, save the limit of our sight. And the only way to illumine them is by extent of view. And so you hug and you try to offer an horizon for the future that mean something.
You always elevate this show to a level that I can't continue.
Well, you guys bring out the poet in me a bit. It's always a great thing to be here, Steve and gang. Thanks so much.
Thanks for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Let's remind people, SOSAmerica.org and the Lincoln Academy
of Illinois.
Of Illinois, and you can help on both and look forward to another announcement this spring. The governor will tell you all about the new Lincoln Academy honorees. So, nice to see you. Safe travels.
Keep your mock up.
I'll do my best.
All right.
Do we need a break before headlines? Yes, we do. We're back with that. Hamp on the way, too, on 720 WGN. Dave, I forgot to ask you this. Aren't you friends with the Kansas City Chiefs radio play-by-play man?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it, bro.
Here's why. I can't help but walk around and say, touchdown, Kansas City.
Traitor!
I don't care about the team. I care about Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Holtis. And by the way, if they're in town, they can stay with me.
Welcome to my sleepover.
I like great broadcasts. That's why I like you, Dave.
Thank you, Steve.
I don't like you personally. I just love you as a professional.
You've made that abundantly clear.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Chiefs, Saints. That'll be your Super Bowl, but the smoke will have to clear Sunday night before it's over. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, joins us. Good morning, Ham.
Good morning, and I'm not so quick to throw the Saints in there. I just think the Rams may pose a little bit of a problem this time.
All right, so the Patriots, all the Patriots have done is show up in the conference championship for 8 straight years. It is insane. Think about 8 straight trips to the World Series, 8 straight trips to the NBA Finals, 8 straight trips to the Stanley Cup Final. Nobody does that, Hamp. Nobody.
You know, in my little teeny any career, I played in 3 NFC championship games. And I thought that was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Straight? Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable.
You're exactly right. And, you know, what is the common denominator? Well, we know the coach, but Tom Brady. You know, that's why, you know, we call him the GOAT, greatest of all time. And here's the other part about this. This summer, the Bears will commemorate 100 years of operation. They've been playing football in the NFL for 100 years. In that 100 years, how many players have thrown 50 touchdowns in a single NFL season? Do you know?
I think it's probably 0. Sid Luckman would have been the only one, and he didn't do it, did he?
No. Not the Bears. In the whole damn league, 100 years of playing, only 3 players have thrown 50 regular season touchdowns. That would be
Brady Manning.
Of course, Peyton Manning's one of them, but the other two are in this game.
Oh, Brady and Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes did it in his very first year as a starter in Kansas City. And, of course, Tom Brady did it, I think, 5 years ago.
But he's got no chance because young quarterbacks against the Patriots, they get dismantled.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, and most young quarterbacks can't you know, have the credentials and flash. You know, 50 touchdowns, you know, during the course of a season like Patrick Mahomes. He's a different cat, you know. And, you know, this year we talked, at great length about the fact that, hey, this kid, he was special and, you know, maybe a 1-in-20-year player. And this will be, obviously, his greatest challenge of his young career. But all that being said, Kansas City's a very good team. They are the number one seed. And I think the last 8 years, and I know what you're saying about the Patriots being in the AFC Championship game the last 8 consecutive years. Well, guess what? The number one seed has won the Super Bowl 7 of the last 8 years.
And I didn't know that.
Kansas because City. So something is going to change this coming Sunday.
Hampo, Mark Harmon, miss you. This Tom Brady guy, he's great in cold weather, 14-2 when it's under 30 degrees in the playoffs here. Do you buy that stat? Is that actually a thing, the cold weather? How do you look at that little nugget?
Tom Brady's 14-2 when it's above 100, below 100, in the daylight, in the dark. I mean, the guy, he's a great player. And look, this is the thing. I don't know, Carm, what you thought, but you know, I was on the field for the first half of the Patriot game when they came into town. What was it, week 6, 7, something like that. Anyway, I was impressed, and they won the game. I got it. But when I put the TV on this past weekend, it was like, remember the movie Cocoon, where all the old people got in the pool, and then all of a sudden they were up doing calisthenics and jumping and running and backflips? That's what it looked like. It looked like somehow Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and the receiver, everybody was like playing three times at this, you know, faster than they did during the regular season. So, hey, it's never easy when you beat the Patriots, but they did lose this year, five games, all five, they came on the road. So, Tom Brady, you know, I mean, we'll never see anything like him again. Obviously, he has been, you know, not only magnificent, but he's, you know, done it for two decades. But every dog has his day, and sooner or later, they, you know, hey, the geezers have to hand the baton off. We'll see if the Whiz Kids can do it this weekend.
Don't you want to defend the Patriots, Justin?
I just, it's hard to go against a team that, until they're beat, you know. Unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of times we've said we don't want the Patriots, and they're going to lose this week, and they don't. They keep winning. The question I have is, Bill Belichick, as Mary mentioned, against young quarterbacks, what is it about Belichick that he does defensively? But I'd also say the Chiefs' defense has been porous this season as well, and it seems like you've got a lot of different options if you're the offensive coordinator for the Patriots.
No, you're exactly correct. There have been a lot of issues with Kansas City. They're 31st in the league overall. Oof. But you know what? The team as a whole is 6th in the league in turnover takeaway, which means, hey, when they have to make a play, they're getting the ball away or stopping teams. And the other part about this is they have a pass rush. Dee Ford, Justin Houston, and now they've got a huge defensive tackle inside that batted four balls last week, and he's collapsing the pocket, and that is the Achilles heel of Tom Brady. You know, he doesn't have the great speed or quickness or being, you know, adept at getting out of the pocket. He just tries to move around. Well, the pass rush collapsing into his lap is always been. You know, that's how he lost against the Giants, 10 years ago in the Super Bowl. The Giants did a great job of putting, you know, those offensive linemen back in his lap. But all that being said, you can never discount the game plans. And, you know, at some point, Josh McDipers has always been able to come up with special plans. Last week, hey, they destroyed the Chargers. But at some point, you know, you got to think, well, there's only so many moves on a chessboard. I just think Kansas City has a certain aura right now where they think they can match up. And, you know, I just think pass rush is king, and Kansas City's pass rush is one of the best in the league.
You know, I used to think Andy Reid was Marty Schottenheimer. He could get you to the biggest games, but he couldn't close. Why was he such a great coach? And then yesterday we had my brother from a different mother, Mitch Holtison, and we were talking about the Chiefs. He told a great story. He said, Chiefs got it locked up. It's the last game of the year. And Andy Reid said to his kid quarterback, and who was it?
Kaska.
Yeah, but it was Mahomes, and who was the...
Yeah, Mike Kaska, the Northwestern.
All right, yeah, and said, you guys got this game. He said, I'm not going to game plan this game.
Yeah.
Well, that was last season?
It was last season.
It's a great story, nonetheless. He turns the game over. He said, you guys got this game. Take it, game plan it, and, you know, as far as developing this kid goes, that sort of thing and building a confidence in a quarterback goes a long way.
No, it's paid off. Here's the thing about Andy Reid. You know, the reason people say, oh, well, he can't win the big one. Well, a lot of times in certain games, he doesn't have the great horses that he needs to be able to win a Super Bowl or an NFC championship game or whatever. But ultimately, he wins a lot of games during the regular season because he's so smart about what he knows what his team can do and what they can't do. And he doesn't waste time having a team, you know, try to do things they can't do. I think he's a great coach.
Well, there's no question he's a great coach. The question is, can he get it done this weekend? And I think he can. Prediction for that game. Sandberg, you got a tie?
I'm going to go 14-14 tie.
All right. Mark Carmen?
I think that Kansas City rolls, Steve. I think they 2-touchdown win for the Chiefs.
Well,
I say Patriots. I say Patriots 38-31.
Chiefs in a squeaker 24-23.
I like that too. Let's say 30-20. Kansas City wins.
All right, we spent more time on the AFC than the NFC because of the players involved. I'm not as interested in the NFC game. I don't know if you heard, the Bears clanked out. You got New Orleans, you got the Rams. And fun offensive teams, questionable teams. Even though the Rams have an amazing defense, Aaron Donald, superstar, strongest man on earth, has sort of disappeared in the last 4 or 5 games. So what's going to happen here, Amp?
Well, we saw the Rams. And by the way, you know, you bringing up the fact that we clanked out, there's no doubt in my mind the Bears would have beaten the Rams last week. And ultimately, you get to a position, well, you know, where you just, you know, what if? Well, the Rams won last week, and they ran the ball. The Bears could have stopped that. But guess what? The Rams will continue with that. And the one thing is, they ran for 232 yards. They they basically did what they wanted to do, and that sets up their offense against the Saints. They're going to run the ball, and then that makes the play action so much more dangerous and explosive. So I think the Rams will not only control the clock, keep Drew Brees, the touchdown geezer, off the field, but once they do get a little bit of a lead, then they're going to rush the passer. Now, in the game they played in Week 9, where the Saints were in a position to win, it was all because the Ram defense did nothing against Drew Brees. He had a 137 quarterback rating. He threw 4 touchdowns. He was not sacked. I don't think he was touched. Mm-hmm. So you know, I know, Wade Phillips, their defensive coordinator, hey, you'll be at the old folks home playing checkers unless you find a way to get to Drew Brees. And I think that's the thing. Both of these games will be won because of pass rush. And I think it's, as I said, Kansas City's pass rush. I think it'll be the Rams' pass rush that will prevail here.
14-14? Is that your call, Sandberg? 14-14?
Exactly, 14-14.
I just wanted to confirm that, Justin.
Sheldon Rankins, the New Orleans Saints star defensive tackle, is out with an Achilles. He tore it last week against Philadelphia. That's what the Rams attack, the defensive tackles. They run through the tackles with Gurley and now C.J. Anderson. I say that the Rams win because of the running game. I will say 28-27.
Carms? Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints are going to win the Super Bowl this year. People are going to be talking about Drew Brees better than Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. Drew Brees, 38, and I'll say the Rams, 31.
You can't say touchdown New Orleans. There's too many syllables. 30-21, Saints over the Rams. And Hamp?
20-17, Rams.
All right, buddy. Where are you going to be watching the game? At the house? The big house? The big Hamp house?
Probably here at the big house. And you know, let me just lastly say this one thing. You know, we hate the fact that the Bears are so close and yet so far away. Wow. You know, I would make this mandatory. If I was Nagy, I would make everyone on the seat, I'd call them all in and say, hey, we're watching it together. Because this is where we should be, and you know what? You got to start planning for those days when you are in a game like this. I think it would have been a great thing for him to do, but we'll see what happens, and we'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. Go Bears. There you go. And you got to go through that pain of watching what you didn't become a part of or couldn't be a part of.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The parade of possible mayors is continuing with Bob Fioretti joining us in studio. Coming up just after 8:30, Dean on the way as well. We'll have more on this BuzzFeed story that broke last night that President Trump, while president, told Michael Cohen, his attorney, to lie to Congress. Absolutely impeachable.
Allegedly.
Well, that's
it's
a report.
Based on sources, yeah. But the that story is so maddening because you're like, why? If you have been telling us all along that you have nothing to hide and that this is a witch hunt, why would you tell your lawyer to fake the timeline?
Well, because he's not telling the truth.
That's my point, but I'm like, why would you do that? Why?
That's like when Rudy Giuliani continues to say Michael Cohen's a liar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lying about Donald Trump for Donald Trump.
8 o'clock, back with the news in a moment. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, oh, he's gone. I thought he was still there.
Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, Dean.
Sound like the Larry King Show. Hello, Oaklawn. Hello, Geneva.
Kansas City. Hello.
Hello.
Couple of pieces of sound to start things off. You had a Liam Neeson story yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I was in New York and talked with Liam Neeson about his new movie that's called Cold Pursuit, about a man whose son is mysteriously murdered and he seeks revenge.
What?
I know it sounds just like his Taken franchise, but this is completely different.
Right.
This movie is so delightfully different from what we have seen Liam Neeson in these revenge thrillers. It's like a Coen Brothers movie. It's great. But when I sat down and to talk to him, I sat down and go, "Hi, how are you?" And his response to me from that brought out this whole stream of consciousness about a comedian I would have never guessed was one of the favorites of Liam Neeson.
Groucho Marx used to say when he said, "Hey, how are you, Mr. Marx?" He says, "Worse."
Just watched two Marx Brothers movies the other day.
Yes.
Laughing at my head.
Aren't they brilliant?
Brilliant.
Still.
They hold up from 1933 or
unbelievable.
Something.
Unbelievable. That's wacky, sensey. So people talk about Monty Python being the new, that new, that give inspired comedians.
Yeah.
Groucho Marx and those guys were doing that in the 1930s.
We just ran a couple of Marx Brothers movies on our station for New Year's Eve, which was really fun. But when you watch them, you can see the influence that they've had on everybody else that's come since the late 30s.
Yeah, of course.
Really funny.
Duck Soup. What was the other few they did?
Duck Soup, Night at the Opera, Horse Feathers. I would have not have guessed Liam Neeson to be a
Marx Brothers expert.
Marx Brothers aficionado.
How about that? Well, that's very cool. You know, we lost a great comedic voice this week. I don't know if you know this or not, but play the music, if you would, Joe.
Come on and see
Chumley the Walrus.
The voice of Chumley?
No, actually Chumley. Bradley Bulkey. Chumley the Walrus died at 93. The voice of Chumley the Walrus. Great cartoon voice. Did a ton of different tune voices through the years.
Day Tennessee.
That's it. That's it.
Hey, Dean, when we were talking to Liam Neeson and you said you had just watched two Marx Brothers movies, was that true?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we ran them on Family Classics on
right after the big New Year's Eve show.
Well, that's that he's a pro, so he just slid it.
What do you think, Dean lies to celebrities?
Well, no, but, you
there's
know.
A code of honesty amongst celebrities.
I just wanted to know.
One time I did tell him that I killed three guys just to try to impress him a little bit.
First time you met him, you told him about your special set of skills, and he said, "Look, I'm married." It's 8:20. We got to take a break. Come back. Let's do this. Steve.
Turns out he doesn't think doing the voice of Victory Auto Records is as special as I do.
It's a special skill. We'll come back and talk about the show business news of the morning on More on Entertainment. Also, by the way, good exciting news. Mark Carman's here this morning. He's getting married, as you know, and he wants to hire you and I as the wedding entertainment. So that'll be exciting.
Wow.
So I don't know.
What do you mean, like at the reception? Or?
Yeah.
I got multiple roles for you, Dean.
Juggling before the ceremony?
Two words, balloon, animals.
Oh.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Dean. And it's not just balloon animals. I think Mark Carman and Dean and I could provide a lot of entertainment for you. At the reception, we could go around and we could do a pithy Q&A at each table.
Steve and Dean, I need somewhere to have the wedding. I'm wondering if you have a venue for me, perhaps your house.
How about the Bozo Studio, Channel 9?
Right. What, Dean?
That would be nice. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we could arrange that.
Paul Rennie would love to take a little kickback money on that. Paul Rennie's our boss, general manager of WGN Radio and WGN TV.
I'm sure it'd be pro bono.
I'm sure an envelope of cash, much like an alderman in Chicago, would get that done.
I mean, I'm willing to do things to get things done, so that's not bad.
Why don't we run it all through Ed Burke?
We could also see if we could get the costumes from the Bozo Show for the wedding party.
There you go.
All right, so what do you think? Q&A at each table, balloon animals, and Dean and I do our French accents.
Yeah. I was thinking dueling French accents for the vows.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the bride?
That sounds like I'm getting married to Steve, though.
Well, we could do a double ceremony.
630 says that Dean should shoot an apple off the guest's head.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I have a lot of experience with that. I think maybe a nice reading in our French accents during the ceremony. That would be nice. Call.
What about playing the accordion? You got an accordion?
I don't know how to play, but I'd be willing to learn.
Yeah, okay. Me too. Lady of Spain?
What about dueling accordions?
Flight of the Bumblebee.
Hey, Dean, can you announce the wedding party in your French accent?
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, and your beret. You need a photo booth, too.
And I'll just stand next to you while you talk and go,
after every name.
Right. I think it's a good plan.
This is exciting. I'm really excited to get married now.
You're 1 week into the engagement. Is she still giddy? Does she still love you and stuff?
I think we're getting... perhaps to a lack of giddiness. I think a slight downgrade from
the reality starting to set in that she's marrying you.
If I could track their relationship, you know, it got announced here on our show on Monday, mm-hmm. and we had a photo gallery up instantly, which is still trending on WCNRadio.com.
Okay.
And then Mark, just like yesterday, posted his own personal post about getting engaged. So he delayed the personal announcement to extend giddy, because it's funny, you do go through all that, you get engaged, and I'm sure you're thinking you're getting at least 3 weeks of you're the best guy ever, and that falls off quickly.
Yeah, she didn't like the fact that I said something along the lines of I'm the prize, I believe, on this show on Monday.
She didn't find that entertaining?
Didn't like that one too much. Mm. I thought it was pretty accurate. But
now, when is this wedding taking place? Do we know?
We don't, Dean.
He went with a system that an old friend of mine did where he's determined the time. It's going to happen at 2. He doesn't know the day, the month, or the year, but it's going to happen at 2 o'clock.
Whatever you can do to arrange it around for ratings advantage, that would be great.
Okay. Good call.
What about, is there like a summer sweeps, like a July 3rd? That's in the middle of the week, but I feel like that could be an opportunity. Like,
you're going to do a wedding in the middle of the week?
Why not? July 3 is, no one's working.
I just think it's adorable that you still think you're making any decisions. It's just really cute. All right, Gladys Knight, what's going on here?
You heard that she is going to be singing the National Anthem at the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be amazing. But, you know, everybody who has been approached to perform anything related Super Bowl is coming under criticism because of the Colin Kaepernick controversy. People saying that they don't like the NFL's treatment of Colin Kaepernick because of the kneeling controversy. Mm-hmm. But to that, Gladys posted a response yesterday saying that she kind of feels like it's important. She said that she wants to give the anthem back its voice, that she wants to take it back to the original intent of the words, where, you know, the sense of justice for everyone that the anthem stands for needs to mean something. And she wants to bring, the words of the anthem back to those principles that she says that she fought for all of her life.
Yeah, it's noble.
So I think it's very nice. And, you know, she basically told all of the people criticizing her for taking this job, none of your business. I'm going to do this.
It's also misguided because the anthem is different than the halftime performance. I can understand boycotting the performance to entertain the masses on the behalf of the NFL, but the national anthem you would want to, because the idea is that the protest was American. That's all along people have been saying they kneeled because it's America, because they were pointing out social injustice. This is more American. This is the whole idea of America.
I think they got to find a new way to protest them. It's gone on too long.
This season was very, very...
Yeah. What's the impact now? You know, take it to the next level. Somebody didn't think this out. We've got the attention. Step two.
Snowball fights.
R. Kelly...
Watch when you step out of your house tomorrow how I protest.
R. Kelly has goons?
Apparently. According to Dave Chappelle, he was approached by... His words, he was approached by R. Kelly's goons... over a skit that he did on his show that mocked the allegation that there may have been.
Are you talking about an old Chappelle show sketch?
Yes, an old Chappelle show sketch, and it's a spoof of an R. Kelly song.
And R. Kelly just got wind of this?
I'll say, he says in the sketch is, I believe I can pee. Like, he's making a pee joke because of the
allegations.
The allegations at the time.
You're so racy.
So these goons did what?
Approached Dave Chappelle, not happy that he did that, and
hey, funny boy,
in their view, made fun of R. Kelly.
Wow, are they as slow? I mean, have they been that busy as goons? They just got to him.
No, apparently this happened when the skit was.
Oh,
I got it. Chappelle's telling the story.
This didn't happen the other day, but
Chappelle's doing it as act.
Chappelle's coming forward now, and he thinks that comedians, you know, need to step up and talk about R. Kelly and other things that are wrong with the world, as he put it.
To give Dave Chappelle credit, he was pointing out R. Kelly's, you know, all the allegations that were happening in R. Kelly in comedy and on his show, when a lot of people were just ignoring it.
You know, I remember...
You said pee.
I remember when I threatened Bob Newhart because I didn't like the way he was looking at me. You know him. He's nothing but controversial. Bobby Moynihan's coming to town.
Yes, just confirmed that he's going to be doing a conversation at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. He is going to be sitting down with a young, aspiring broadcaster named Dean Richards and talking with him for an hour about his career. He hasn't seen the Saturday Night Live exhibit in Chicago, and he wants to see it, so he's going to come in and see the exhibit, and then it's going to be a big benefit for the museum. Saturday, February 2nd. At the museum, which is 360 North State Street in Chicago, and you can go to snltalk.com to get more information. We'll have the Q&A, and as usual, at all appearances that I do, I set up the Dean Richards kissing booth. And
it's a big hit.
Yeah, people seem to enjoy it.
I think they should take all the Saturday Night Live cast members who thought they were too important, too funny, or just didn't make it for any reason, and they should be ushers at the SNL exhibit.
I like that. That's good.
Like, remember the guy that dropped the F-bomb?
What's his name? Charles Rocket?
That's it.
Charles Rocket?
Just disappeared. And
Moynihan was on the show for 9 years.
Who was?
Bobby Moynihan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Nine years, and then he quit to give him his own sitcom on CBS that lasted for about 3 weeks. Oops.
Only movie review of the weekend worth talking about?
There's one movie that's opening this week, and it's pretty terrible. It's called Glass. From director M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, Shyamalama Ding Dong. This one's bad, too?
Shyamalama Ding Dong. This one is bad, too. It brings together the main characters from his movie Unbreakable from 19 years ago, if you can even remember that. I did like that movie, and also his movie Split that came out a couple of years ago with James McAvoy. This movie it's in search of something to do. They just threw so much into this movie with no direction. By the time anything happens in this movie, you have long since checked out, because really not much happens until about the last half hour of the movie, and by then, you know, I'm already looking at my watch trying to decide what I'm going to have for dinner when I leave the theater.
That's not a good sign.
No, it was a huge letdown. Huge letdown, a whole lot of nothing. Dean's List D-.
You on the radio Sunday?
I am.
What time?
I believe we usually start around 9 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. Should stick around to 1, probably.
We usually start, well, actually, we're only on until 11 o'clock this week.
Oh, that's right. We got early hockey.
So we're going to pack in 4 hours of entertainment into 2 hours.
Normally you pack in 2 hours of entertainment into 4, so that'll be different.
We stretch out 2 hours of entertainment into 4.
So that'll be really different.
It's going to be opposite this week. So maybe we'll talk about the snow. Isn't it supposed to still be blowing and drifting?
Yeah, you'd be lucky.
On Sunday?
You'd be lucky, yeah. You'd be absolutely lucky to be alive. And one last thing. Pete Zimmerman's birthday is today, but he doesn't want it mentioned on the air.
I wouldn't think of mentioning Pete Zimmerman's birthday today?
Yep. Today's his birthday.
How old?
28.
Are you having the Steve Cochran spanking machine like you always do?
Yeah, you know, HR said they want to be a part of that. I don't know what's going on there.
They said, well, come down when you do that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They said we need to be there for that. I go, okay, whatever.
Nice.
Bend over.
Well, I wouldn't say it on the air because he doesn't want us to say happy birthday to Pete Zimmerman.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If we were allowed to say happy birthday to Pete Zimmerman, then I would say happy birthday, Pete Zimmerman.
But don't do it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
My lips are sealed.
Next report you do on Channel 9, tug your ear. We'll know you're thinking of Pete Zimmerman's birthday.
I'm going to put up a big picture of him in with a birthday cap on. Little birthday hat.
That's perfect. All right, buddy. See you. It's Headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You like parades? The mayoral parade continues, and it's nice to see Bob Fioretti. It's been a while. Nice to have you back on the show.
Good to be here. Definitely.
And, Bob...
But do we have a band as this mayoral parade?
You wouldn't be bad. You know? At least a three-piecer.
Music.
Yeah, orchestration.
Yeah, we need a band, right.
Look, there's nobody that knows City Hall quite like you do. As a former alderman and an attorney who knows every inch of this town, and you've run for mayor before. Are you going to hit hard your experience in these few weeks going up? Because you know the real estate.
I do. And actually, people are saying because of what I've done across the board. You know, when I was elected, the second ward was 76% African-American. I was the first white guy since 1915. And I won ultimately with 72% of the vote in that ward. You know, you have to really reach out, and I've done things that I built five parks. We did a nice development. I had more schools than any other ward. I got over $1 million for every school in my ward by working with our legislators. So I think I brought 8,000 jobs to my ward. Not one candidate can say if they've ever brought jobs to any part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is experience, and it is experience at this point. And I've raised all the issues that all of a sudden all these reform candidates are talking about, and it's like, where have you been?
Well,
you either stood on the sidelines or you criticized me directly.
Bob, I was going to say, I mean, everyone seems to want to run with the progressive mantle. This is the year of the progressive, even if they...
Whatever that means.
It's
the buzzword. Yes. But what does that mean to you? I mean, because you have been involved in progressive politics. You've been a reform alderman and an elected official. What do you need to be a reform candidate and a progressive candidate?
Well, I think some of the... some of the items, you know, Bill Daley, it's sort of funny. I think he's taking all of my ideas that I've talked about in the past. He's clearly done everyone. I'm wondering if he's going to take my last name next at this point. So, you know, we look about term limits, smaller city council, having town hall meetings on the budget. I'm going to go to every ward once throughout the year and have just the ward residents come to me and talk, just like I had ward night. And I would line up people, you know, and try to deal with their problems. I'll have my whole cabinet there. If you've got this kind of a problem, let's see what we can do to solve it. You know, and again, they're talking about more police. I voted against 6 out of the 8 times on budgets because we didn't have enough police, we didn't have enough detectives, we should have been opening up our mental health centers.
Bob, you know, let's talk about police because crime is a big issue, but of course right now we saw yesterday the verdict on the 3 police officers acquitted. You also see today at 10 o'clock we're going to have the verdict or the sentencing for Jason Van Dyke. What do you think about what we saw yesterday with the verdict and what do you feel about what's going to happen today with Jason Van Dyke?
Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Van Dyke. The problem was I watched it just probably like everybody here, bits and pieces.
Right.
The judge gets to hear the sentencing report. He gets to hear from some witnesses, maybe the family, to talk about what kind of a sentence he should impose. He will make the right decision. I do trust this judge, just like I trusted the judge yesterday. You know, she was an associate judge, so she's elected by all the judges. And I find it that associate judges are much more keen in terms of application of the law. She had an hour. You know, you go to a jury and the jury comes back guilty or not guilty. In a civil case, liable or not liable.
Right.
But in what this judge did yesterday, she read her opinion virtually an hour long before as she reached her decision on all 3 of the police officers. I did not listen to it. I mean, in terms of what is happening on the trial, a bigger question.
Just as there is part of Chicago that will celebrate that, there will be part of Chicago that will protest that. As someone who wants to be mayor and the leader, what do you say to Chicago when we have divisive issues like this that separate our city?
Well, in fact, there's going to be three protests today. One at 10 at the 26th in Cal. There's going to be one downtown here, and I think a third one at City Hall. And we have to see, you know, it's time for healing. It's time for bringing people together.
How do you get there? How do you get to a point where people trust the court system?
Well, that's a good question. You have good lawyers, you have good state's attorneys, you have good public defenders. Half of the problem is people for minor crimes are still in jail and they should have been tried within a week. Our system has to evolve and change. We've got to build trust, but we build it by going out to the community. You know, we have to start at the top in the police department. I do not have any confidence in this superintendent. I had no confidence in the last superintendent because he was just a puppet of Rahm Emanuel. And now all of a sudden when he got jilted and fired, he was running against him.
Should the mayor have the power over the superintendent, or should that be a separate thing?
That's a good question all the way around. I haven't thought about it in that way, but I think in this superintendent, he just chose him. They bypassed what was already on the books in terms of choosing. He should have a role. He should have a selection of who and what. And
do you like the idea of civilian oversight?
You know, we have a lot of civilian oversight. We have to look at what we're doing in terms of creating more civilian oversight. We do have a police board, but it took me 2.5 years, both starting under Daley and finally under Rahm, to modify and change and reform the police board. You know, we've got Lori Lightfoot. She was head of OPS. She was head of the police board. I mean, she was helping to whitewash most of the cases that were coming before her. You know, we need good hiring. We need continual training, not then. We need supervision and we need discipline. I don't see it in this force. And, you know, our police officers need backing. They need constant training. You know, if you look at the consent decree, I've read it a couple of times, the 225 pages. It says, let's bring the FOP, all the police unions, to the table. They did not do that here. They've been excluded. So the police officers already feel their back is against the wall. At the same time, if you look at the reforms that they're talking, instead of everybody throwing darts at it and throwing it up in the air and saying this is useless, they were items that should have been put into place a long time ago. How you deal with force, how you deal with the use of tasers, tear gas.
All the things that broke the trust down.
Yes, and it could have been resolved a long time ago. If we would have had a professional superintendent, you know, the last three or four were not. They were puppets, really, of the mayor's office. And so we need to find a professional here who knows the streets of Chicago, that knows good practices, not only in this city and other cities, but someone who can guide our department.
Well, a lot of people thought McCarthy was it.
Well,
When he was hired, I mean, he had all the police experience in the world. So you go from McCarthy to a guy who's rank and file, who works his way up. So I guess you find somebody in between. I mean, I don't know.
No, McCarthy wasn't it. McCarthy,
but he had what you're talking about. He had the resume.
He had a resume, but every city he was in, a consent decree followed him. I'm calling this current consent decree the $28 million McCarthy tax, because that's about what it's going to cost us every year. And we could have been starting this stuff a long time ago. I got up on the floor and voted no on one of the budgets. Specifically, I started off, we don't have enough police officers, and we need them, and we've got to find them.
When we come back, I want to talk about the commuter tax, because I believe everyone other than me should be charged mightily to come into the city of Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and the city's got a major money problem, and we'll talk about how Bob Fioretti would handle the city's money and what he would do about it. The Bob Fioretti website for mayor is?
Bob4Chicago, F-O-R.
Bob4Chicago, F-O-R, for Chicago, and more in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bob Fioretti's here, wants to be your mayor. Bob4Chicago is the website. All right, I don't hear anybody else talking about a commuter tax. And I know people don't want to hear the word tax, but honestly, the city needs revenue, and we need some control over how we deal with traffic in and out of the city, the parking in the city, and things of that nature. London has had this forever.
Well,
there's a way to do this, which is not a killer for people and can help.
Right. And first of all, we have a $10.2 billion budget. And that budget, right now we're paying about $900 million into the pension fund. In 4 years, we're going to have to pay a billion additional dollars. Whoever is elected mayor and sworn in on May 15th, by September 1st, has to find $400 million new dollars for the pension. That goes to $600 million the following year, $800, and then a billion. So we're going to
like
pay
a loan shark.
It is. And that's been the problem from day one. A commuter tax, my view is, and I proposed it 6 years ago, and Ron beat me up on it, saying, oh my goodness, you know, it's going to kill jobs. No, it's not. It's not a head tax like he was, and he was trying to get rid of the head tax at that time. A commuter tax, it would be a tax on people from Indiana, Wisconsin, and the suburbs. They come here that work here. 1% and 1% only. I know Daley's picked up the idea, but he doesn't know how to implement. That for the 800,000 people that come in here daily to work, that would generate $300 million. Now, look, I'm not in favor of any taxes. We can't. If you're not in favor of commuter tax, you're definitely in favor of property tax increases, and that cannot happen.
You got to find a way.
So, and we can probably, by lifting the ban on video poker, we can raise $75 million. If I can't find $25 million for next year in the budget, something's wrong, because this budget is pretty bloated, and we can do things there.
Justin, last word.
My last word, just for, you know, you talk about pensions and you talk about the budget, that but what's coming up here, you are part of a council under Daley and Emanuel. You were a vocal critic of the mayor's, but at the same time, the council and the mayor kicked the can down the road, and here we are, and it's time to pay up. How can we trust that the people who were manning the ship back in 10, 15 years ago and were kicking the can down the road aren't going to do the same thing again?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because you're dealing with the optics of how the council works. The downtown ones are... if you look at their campaign funds, they got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But as you get into the outskirts, they're bought off by the mayor. They have to do what the mayor says. You know, we need an independent council, that's a council that chooses their own leaders, and not one by Rahm Emanuel or whoever the mayor is dictating who the committee chairs are. You know, we have to change the way we do business here. That's why I say a smaller city council. We need a term limits for all elected municipal officials.
Amen.
We're the only city that doesn't have it. Well, I take that back. Out of the top 10, Philadelphia is the other one that does not have term limits for its people.
And
it's time to do
and
that.
My last question is, if you become mayor, will you shut off the microphones of the aldermen who protest?
You know, Daley tried that one time on me, and so no, they can speak. You know what's interesting, and I'm going to answer that. You know, some of the folks out in the community fought for getting the community comment time. Well, you know, when that starts after they say the Pledge of Allegiance and they open up the council, the mayor walks out for the next half hour. About a third of the council members, they should be listening to the people of what they do and what their concerns are and why they're there. The other you know, remaining council members are on their phone. It really is a joke. I've only gone to one council meeting since I've been.
You know what, had like the second time I mentioned London here, so maybe I'm British and I don't know.
Wigs.
Prime Minister question time, where you as the mayor stand up, say what you want to say, sit down and let everyone heckle you, and then you stand up again when it's your turn again.
That is kind of like council.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, except for the part where you sit down.
Right. Well, you know, another thing, maybe the council ought to be running the council instead of the mayor. And a lot of cities across this country, mm-hmm. I've looked at all of the top 15 cities in our country and what they do, how they elect officials. You know, the other problem, voter suppression and how we keep people off the ballot, and having these gosh darn elections in the middle of the winter, really.
Oh, it's ridiculous. No, listen, we know why election day is in March, and there's no reason it can't be moved. Good to see you. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And I'm glad your health is so strong. You look good.
I'm feeling good, and good. I'm ready for the run.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a busy few weeks.
Yes, it will.
That's Bob Fioretti. Bob for Chicago. That's the number four, F-O-R.
F-O-R.
F-O-R. Exactly right, Bob. Good job by you already. Bob for Chicago. .com. Good luck.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes to the side and said, I'm sorry. Yeah. 5 days since I laughed at you and said, you just did just what I thought you were. I
haven't been able to go over the week in the news here in a while, but Steve will settle up here in a second.
As he's settling up, can we say that you can join the WGN TV in the biggest stair climb in Chicago, American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare, Sunday, March 10th at Prudential Towers in Chicago's West Loop. You can make a positive impact on the lives affected by lung disease, and Mary Vandeveld is a captain.
That's me and Dave Bennett.
Dave Bennett. So you
it's
can climb
there's
one,
not
two,
time for this.
Three or four towers. That's 2,340 steps in total.
Do four. It's not bad.
Go to WGNradio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org.
This has been a busy week of news. 312-981-7200. If you pay attention to the news, you listen to WGN religiously, you can be rewarded if you can guess these newsmakers.
But I'm going to guess his first story.
Wait. I'm changing the rules.
Yeah. Okay.
You can ask for help. But you have to ask a specific person.
Okay.
As opposed to everybody on the show chiming in. So anybody other than Steve, who obviously know the answers,
right?
You can ask for help.
Okay.
I know the first one, though, the first big story is going to be, everybody, Steve Cochran wearing denim. Which he is in denim for the second time this week.
I didn't even see the
He's in denim. Friday. The shirt is tucked in. He looks really nice.
Thanks.
I almost took a picture of your butt just because we talked about your butt in the jeans.
My butt's all over the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, you just search Steve Cochran's butt. It's not that hard to find.
Yeah, but he, as we learned, he went to the store. He told them, I have a flat butt.
Right.
What have you got for me?
It's a sad story, really, when you think about it.
See, I was the real top story of the week is Steve getting punched in the face earlier this week.
Oh, by my sister.
By your sister.
Okay,
yeah,
Steve, you made both top stories. Yeah.
Funny, both of them involve trouble for me.
There's a video of that at WGMradio.com. My sister doing physical therapy on
your sister.
TMJ.
We should, you know, this is worth re-mentioning because a lot of people have TMJ syndrome, and there's no cure for it. I had never had it in my life. I took a big bite of a Big Apple last fall. I heard a pop and a crack in my jaw. My jaw hadn't been right since. Everybody said, there's no way, there's no way. One helpful listener gave me a lead on a doctor in the North Burbs who...
It's really far from your house.
Not close, but who is very good at this, who I still may reach out to if needed, but... Your sister came in this week, a professional physical therapist of the highest order.
Doctor of physical therapy.
Pro.
Of the highest order. And you said, Steve's got the TMJ thing. Is there something you could do? She came over, and I think you summed this up well. There was no doctor-patient consultation prior to treatment.
It was just hands-on.
It was not. She first of all, she was very fast to move around the table. So it wasn't like, let me talk to you. She got up, and she trotted. She got into
a trot
over to your face. She grabbed the side of your face, both sides of the jaw. She raised her right here, and she dug in the most intimate way I've never seen.
Yeah,
anyone
about intimate so much as really painful.
Because Steve's a great guy, but you know he's not an affectionate guy. We're not hugging afterwards. No. We're not a lot of even handshakes. Maybe a fist bump once in a while. She got in there.
Germaphobe.
Now you're holding your face right now,
right,
Steve. Are you having pain?
No, I'm doing
remembering.
The
you're doing the treatment.
No, I'm doing treatment.
Okay.
You know what it reminded me of is when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, like for instance, you have to like set your arm or you've dislocated your shoulder or something like that.
Yeah,
the doctor says, okay, I'm going to count to three and do it, and then one, two, and then pop. On number two.
There was no count.
There was no count.
She was in there.
She did say, open your mouth. You opened your mouth, and then she, as Justin described, ran over to you almost in frustration.
Yeah.
You know, that you
were. Awesome.
And the funny part of this is it's completely counterintuitive, but for you that have TMJ syndrome, it's important to understand this, because I didn't know this, and you described it well the other day. If you have a tight something on one side... or pain, I should say, on one side. That's not the side to work on.
No. And you've been doing your exercises on the side of the jaw that's been popping out.
Yeah.
But the other side of the jaw is tight, and that's why that one side is popping out. So she has you pushing the tendons on the tight side. So
on the left side, which allows them to release, right? As I understand it.
Yep. And then your jaw is more even, and then it opens and closes.
Yeah.
I watched the video online. It looked extremely painful.
It was very painful.
And I have to ask the question, why was...
Did you notice the part where I cried?
Well, they weren't showing it. The video was of the ceiling. I didn't quite get what was going on. Was that an accident or on purpose?
Turn the camera away.
Dave Marzullo, it wasn't safe for work. No, Dave Marzullo was fixing it because there was some glitch in the system.
So it wasn't just to take away Steve's the pain in your face.
But I've had a a separated shoulder, and the coach comes out and says, I'm going to step on your shoulder, and then pulls, as Steve described, the 1-2-3 count. Your sister jamming her thumb from the bottom of my chin through my skull has really made a difference.
And when you do watch the video, the laughing in the background, which is my laugh, is organic, it's authentic, it's real.
Justin enjoyed Steve being tortured.
I enjoyed the whole moment.
I'm looking forward to seeing you on Billions in the S&M section.
Steve Grzanich, what was the biggest story of the week?
I think it's probably, there are a couple big stories of the week. I would say yesterday, the acquittal of these three officers is probably the biggest local story. The swearing in of a new governor this week.
Yeah, I almost forget about that.
You know, that's the beginning of, 4 years of new policies and new things going on. So those would be my two.
Is there a story that you think was underreported or that people weren't paying attention to this week?
Absolutely. There was a study out of London about the human diet. And the study, which is a multi-year study, says that human diet is causing catastrophic damage to the planet.
Oh.
The study says that
Justin was on this for months.
Yeah, but yeah.
So the study's authors say that the way food is produced.
Remember, he suggested that we just eat beans and no more beef.
No more beef.
That's what they say.
I'm not supposed to say that to Orion. That's the one thing. No problem saying it to me.
That's a big part of it. But they also said that generally we eat too many calories every day. We're wasting too much food.
And so especially in this country,
the target is everybody should try to eat more vegetables, less meat, and about 2,500 calories a day going forward. Otherwise, we're doomed.
By the way, 2,500 calories is plenty.
I was thinking like 18. I thought you were going to say like everyone ate 1,100.
That's a sliding scale based on your size.
But the meat thing was drastic. The meat thing was just a couple of grams of meat, which would be like part of a hamburger. Not a big
3 ounces, 4 ounces.
Grams, actually.
Well, you think about changing over behaviors in 312-981-7200 if you want to be one of our three contestants. Going up against Steve Grzanich in the news and figuring out this. 312-981-7200. It's going to be much harder to change people's meat-eating habits than it is to get people to accept driverless cars.
Absolutely.
I think I agree with that. But if you think about it, and this study cited Brazil, Brazil is cutting down forests so that they can have more grazing area for cattle. Mm-hmm. And so, the forests are what put some of the oxygen and
this
CO2.
This is Justin's number one campaign.
I've been railing on this. The amount of land that is used that would otherwise be used for forestation that is used for just cows having to eat.
Yeah,
is on tremendous amount of land in this world.
Therefore, science needs to come up with fake forests. It's not like the cows are going to be able to go, whoa, this is a fake forest.
Yeah, right, that might be bad.
When Justin's been pitching this, when he was hot on this topic, and then the birthday boy, Pete Zimmerman, with the photo gallery at WGNradio.com, Pete will say, I've not eaten meat for years, and there are plenty of good non-meat options. That's what he always says.
And then we kind of
look at him like...
Well, we're not celebrating his birthday anymore than based on that. All right, we've got to do this quickly. Contestant number one is Margie. Good morning, Margie.
Hi.
All right, so you're gonna hear a piece of sound, and you'll have to identify what news story this is. If you need help, ask any one of us, but not all of us. Are you ready?
Okay.
As we enter Illinois' third century, we must bring a renaissance to downstate Illinois, which has been deprived of some basic resources for education and business building.
It's an easy one.
And the question is?
Who is that?
It's Governor Pritzker.
Bang!
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
It's Lou Malnati's Pizza, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza online at loumalnati's.com. It's Karen. Are you ready to play, Karen?
Yes.
Here is your clue.
People are crook. You can't trust them. You need to put an investigation every 3 months in every department in City Hall to keep people straight.
Mm. The question, Steve,
is who is that?
Karen, go ahead or ask for help.
I think it sounds like Willie Wilcox.
Yes!
That's awesome.
What a smart
nice job,
audience.
Karen.
Karen, you've got an app gift card pleasing people since 1936, and Glenview are online at abt.com.
And if I could,
you ready?
Nominate the best soundbite of the week. That might be it.
Yeah, that's pretty good, pretty strong. And we started off easy.
Yeah,
that one is much harder. That was much harder. So congratulations.
Right, we didn't ask her anything about Steve's jeans, but that's okay.
Steve jeans.
Can't believe it.
Steve's jeans.
I was in a band called Steve's Jeans.
You are, you're in Steve's jeans right now.
Exactly.
And Dad's wearing denim.
And Dad's wearing denim. It was the band that opened for us.
All right, one more. You want to do one more?
Sure. Dan, are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right, here is your clue.
I do want to say to the governor, I want to thank you for figuring out in 4 days what some other people couldn't figure out in 4 years.
Now, you could ask who that was, or you could ask who's he mocking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And what's the story, I think, is the better question.
What's the story? Okay, what's the story?
Well, let's find. Do you know who that is?
Do I know who it is?
Yeah. Yes.
Who was it?
Is that the question? Rahm. That's all. The infamous Rahm and Man.
All right, so what's he talking about?
Can you give me a help there, Mary?
Mary.
Oh.
Wow. Tabrick?
He's talking about Steve's jeans.
No.
But you're just as a bonus question. You already got it right.
Yeah.
Well, help him out anyway.
Got to make it a little harder, though.
He's talking
about the conflict in Springfield between Browner and the Democrats.
That's it. Bang, bang, bang.
I like when he answered it. He goes, "Rahm," like they're friends.
Pretty impressive.
Rahm.
Dan, are you a golfer?
Yes.
Gift certificate to Golf Center Des Plaines. Congratulations. You can play year-round in the golf practice facility in their newly renovated landing turf hitting bays in the area's only fully lighted nine-hole course, golfcenterdesplaines.com. Steve, we feel we've learned something, and I'm against that.
And that story was more specifically about the gun law that Pritzker signed this week.
We let Dan off the hook.
Rahm taking the opportunity to goad the outgoing governor one last time.
I think that as we recognize that our listeners are much smarter than we give them credit,
sure,
I think that we're going to have to go deeper to make sure that they're specific, because we gave Dan the
specific. Don't suck the fun out of the game.
He was general in the way he said, oh, the Democrats and Republicans in Springfield, yay, but I agree, it should have been the gun law.
You know, I don't remember hearing you on the download torture listeners the way you want to torture listeners
don't make
on this
show. What was that horrible game we played, the Blackhawks trivia, where it was so difficult that we nobody could get any answer? Let's not do that.
They already won. I'm talking about after the fact.
After the fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin would like to come to your home and ask you questions just to make sure you get one wrong.
Yeah, make it harder, Rusanich.
He's all empowered over there. It'll be harder next week, I promise.
All right. Bill and Wendy, obviously at 10. We have comedian Kevin Bozeman coming in just a few minutes as we continue with the 9 o'clock hour festivities on the Steve Cochran Show. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. This is 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La, la, la.
Well, it is a pleasure to welcome a pal to the studio, Kevin Bozeman. I mean, one of the funniest people you ever see on stage. And, unlike a lot of people in show business, Kevin's actually a decent guy. And I welcome you to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. I love this studio. I would come in like on Saturdays, even if I didn't. You ever bring...
You mean like come in on the weekends?
Yeah, just for the view. Just to like, I would just sit in and maybe write.
It is,
you know,
beautiful. It is a this studio. I love it. This studio is the best radio studio.
If you can't crank out good radio in this studio, then what's your purpose?
That's what I tell.
What are you offering people? If you can't be motivated to crank out good radio.
That's what I tell Rokan every day at 3 when I call him. I go, come on, man, suck it up. Get it done.
Look at this.
I think we should get that clip of him and play that at our all-staff meetings.
Right?
You know, I mean, he's just getting right to the point there. It's a you problem if you can't crank out something good.
Crank out something good in this environment.
Larry Wirtz going to his website now to see if he's available. I finally found a morning show. It's great seeing you. How are you?
I'm a fantastic, man. Lots of things going on.
Where are you this weekend?
I'm at the Comedy Bar this weekend. My new comedy album just dropped today, Two Parent Love.
Congratulations.
Right? And, it's available on iTunes and
link it off your
Amazon.
Website.
Yeah. You can go to my Facebook page or KB Instagram, KB Stand Up. The links are right there. So what's great is like my social media, everyone does for me. So that's on there. My website, I do it, and I don't know how to link anything. So I send you everywhere but my website. If you don't want to know what's going on with me, go to my website.
Go to the website.
But if you want to know what's going on to me, go to all my other social media.
Right.
So go to my fan page, go to Twitter, go to Instagram.
But if you go
to my website, you are in an abyss, my man. You are in a black hole. Who knows when I'll see you next.
Now, we just did the Tivoli for New Year's Eve.
Right?
You're a Downers Grove guy.
Listen, man. I love being in the suburbs, especially Downers Grove, because like I'm the only black dude on my block,
right,
which means I'm the most important person on my block. Because I control all the value of all the homes on my block.
Yeah, right, right. And the white people are either really glad to see you there or keeping an eye on you all day.
I throw it in their face all the time. I'm like, I see them at Starbucks. I'm like, you better buy my coffee, else I'll have a cookout. Watch. Watch the value of your house drop 10 G's. Get to it, Chip. You know what I like.
It's tremendous. Now, you got a show at the Tivoli coming up.
Yeah, man.
This is an annual benefit,
it's
right?
It's an annual. Well, the soccer club out there, my kid is in soccer. And I keep thinking that he's going to be done with soccer because he knows that he's been playing this 7 years. I don't even know the rules still.
Right.
And I still have this
most
benefit.
Most goals win.
Right. This is what I know. Whenever something great happens in soccer, I know that it's a penalty. Oh, that was exciting. That's probably going to come back.
That's right. Somebody got kicked and fell down.
That's probably going to come back, right?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have been doing something fun. There's a penalty for fun. But
so the Tivoli thing, we should definitely not go to your website to find out about the Tivoli.
Absolutely go.
Oh, that's at the website?
They're not playing soccer at the show.
No, no, no. I'm saying to get details on the benefit, don't go to your website.
Yeah, you can go to my website for that.
For
that's
this.
The
All
one
right.
because
okay,
someone
okay,
did
okay.
that for me.
Kevin
so I was
Bozeman.
Like, hey, man, I don't know how to put the link on this. And he's like, I got it. KevinBozeman.com. So it's great. It's me, Russ Williamson, and Dave Hellum, who's now writing for Little Rel. The Little Rel show is coming in from that. And I host it. Fantastic show, man. It's a really fantastic show.
You were talking about the new album and about your kids. How many kids?
I have three.
And how old?
16, 14, and 8 months. Right.
16, 14, and 8 months.
Well, because everybody's like, well, why would you have another kid? Because I looked at my other two kids and was like, I can do better. Right, you never look at your kids like, this is the best I can do. One more shot.
I thought maybe your wife was mad at you for about 12 years.
No, man. I have one kid that's 6'6", can't drive with his left hand. The other kid don't put cheese on his cheeseburgers. Fail.
You can only teach him so much.
How do you like cheese but not cheeseburgers?
What? That's just wrong.
That's wrong. He's like, let me get a burger with just bake up and ketchup. No, not in my car. You go in and order that. I'm not being associated with that.
Are you a better dad with the baby than you were with the kids that are older?
Oh, yeah.
Because you know now.
Yeah, this kid, there's no way. Like, this kid's going to come out not adjusted. He's going to come out spoiled.
Right.
Cocaine, hookers, whatever you need, dude. Just.
Remember Rock's rule?
Just work on your basketball.
Rock's rule is get him to 18 and keep him off the pole. That's all you need
right,
to do.
That's right, man. Keep that's him it. Off the pole. But that's I got it. Three boys, too. So if he ends up on the pole, then.
Well, that's
I have to be supportive of that.
That's a Showtime special.
Yeah, keep him on the pole. Keep them on the pole.
So this little one, what do the big brothers do? Are they good?
They're great babysitters. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Like, my oldest son is, like, he's tall, good-looking, charismatic.
Is he really
6'6"? Words. Yeah, very comfortable around his friends' moms. So
he's charming everybody.
Right.
He's a total con artist.
I just wanted to show him what it's like to raise a kid before he gets too crazy. Hey, man,
right,
just want you to know this is what it's like.
Right.
Mom and dad going out tonight. We'll be home. Watch them. Figure it out.
And don't call.
That's how you don't become a granddad. You have another kid like a granddad.
All right, hang around a second. A couple more minutes with Kevin Bozeman when we come back. By the way, go to KevinBozeman.com for minimal information. Follow him on social media for all the stuff you actually need to know. It's BOZEMAN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
My friend Kevin Bozeman's here, and he can see him at the Comedy Bar this weekend. That's 500 North LaSalle in Chicago. And you can go to eventbrite.com for tickets for kicking up some laughs at the Tivoli on January 24th. Still a few seats left for this. And best shot really is to call Kevin's 16-year-old to find out where Kevin's playing because he wants to get him on the road as fast as possible. On Twitter, follow him at Kevin Bozeman, BOZEMAN. So you're traveling all the time.
I'm on the road, man. Probably 250 days.
That's a lot. Wow. That's a lot.
Well, 250 days. Listen, man, there's no vacation. I can't call a club and be like, I'm sick, but I still expect you to pay me. Right? Like, you gotta put that grind in. I tell people all the time, like, you're supposed to fail at stand-up for a myriad of reasons. Mm-hmm. Being comfortable on stage,
yeah.
Being able to write, being able to, the grind of it, being able to constantly,
no
it's
doubt.
Like just being at a club, just always asking girls to dance and just getting a bunch of no's
yeah.
To finally, it's 1 a.m., you stumble onto that drunk two.
Right.
You stumble into that slump bus, like, all right, and then you bring her home, she chokes you out, and whatever. That, right. All I'm saying is,
but these are the type of things that can happen.
That's comedy.
Yeah, that's what makes you funny. That right. Kind of experience.
It's a character
in life,
builder.
That's what makes you funny.
It's a character builder. If you have ate your whole life, you're not going to appreciate a good person in your life. If all you've had was good-looking people that's well-adjusted, you got to have that four crack.
Preach into the choir.
Right?
That's been my problem my whole life. Nothing but eights.
Yeah, right? Nothing but eights. You get that four crackhead, man. It makes you appreciate that you eight think, better.
You hear about this all the time in the workplace as a new
Wait,
generation.
Workplace? I generally don't.
No, but like millennials, all this idea about millennials, that they look at the way promotions differently, they look at how they're treated differently. Is it the same in the stand-up world? Are younger comics coming up not wanting to grind, not thinking about the hustle and the things that you
have?
That's
a good question. Sense of entitlement?
Yeah, but I think it is stand-up, it's always been like that. Like, every host thinks they should be the middle act. Every middle act thinks they should be the headliner. Every headliner thinks they should have their own
TV
show.
Yeah, what's funny is
that's
the guy...
That's always been the rule for
the one that'll make you nuts is the guy that's got 4 good minutes, and he comes in and he goes, why won't this guy book me to headline?
Yeah.
Why? I got 45.
Yeah.
You don't have 5.
Yeah, I had that conversation all the time. Like, you're supposed to have too much material.
Right.
If you're required to do 45, you should have an hour.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's going to be stepping on your bits and who's going to be doing stuff. If you only got 45 minutes, then you got to go up and start telling comics, can you not do this joke? Can you not talk about this and this and that? And you're like, wait, why?
Yeah, if you got 45, you got 30. If you got 30, you got 15.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's supposed to weed you out. Like, it's a marathon.
You know, we have
very seldom a sprint
For both of you guys, there's a whole movement of young comedians who are now doing comedy open mics in the back of bars or in the back of restaurants or the back of grocery stores, whatever it might be. But there's a lot of different alternative spaces and a lot of people getting the stand-up that weren't there when you were doing stand-up when you guys were coming up. Does that make it easier to weed people out, or is that harder?
It's more competition? Difficult. It's more difficult. Like, because now, I think, like, everything with the internet and everything, everybody's learning how to do things faster because you get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I started, like, I had to learn at the clubs, and there was just the comedy clubs, just the open mics. Now it's just like, what? You don't put me on? That's all right. I'll put my own stuff on. I won't have to go through all of that. I'll put my own show together and put my friends up, and then we'll establish mediocre.
But here's the thing, Kevin.
Exactly. We establish this mediocre aura of invincibility that we have.
But Kevin, if you and I and a guy like Bill Leff, who's behind you, if we could all live the dream, we will have all those comics arrested. All those frauds, all those YouTube wannabes.
Those YouTube comics are absolutely the worst.
Yeah, and we're going to find you. Everyone
here. I'm good. Like, if you're killing it, if you have a market, then fine. Like, I don't.
Yeah, no,
like,
I don't. I'm not that giving. It's a comedy bar at 300, or 500, I should say, North LaSalle. Get there tonight, tomorrow as well, or get to the Tivoli, or do both. Good to see you, man.
Thank you. And don't forget to download my album, Two Parent Love, available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Store.
Download it twice.
Download it twice. That's why, this way I can never sell out. Like, it's always available.
Totally.
Always available.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Back with Bill and Wendy in a moment, and in the Northwestern Medicine Newsrooms, where you'll find Steve. Mark Carman will be where this weekend?
I will. I was going to go home with you today, Steve. And
Mark Carman will be at my house.
Well, I will be doing overnight tonight with Paul Farvar, and then I'll be here at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay, Justin.
I have a big writing retreat this weekend with Schadenfreude, my sketch comedy group, which has our show coming up, our 20th anniversary in February.
You're doing new stuff?
I'm doing new stuff, yeah.
I'm a risk taker, man.
Who wants to do old
stuff? Make it a greatest hit show.
Oh, God, so boring. Right?
By the way, congratulations, sold out, right?
Sold out, so thank you.
And Bill and Wendy. And Pete Zimmerman's birthday. We didn't get a chance to mention
that
this morning.
Happy birthday, Pete.
He doesn't want us to mention
it. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about it even once, but happy birthday to Pete. And Super Joe, what are you doing this weekend? Excellent. Talk to you then. It's Bill or Wendy time. What are you guys up to?
We are going to talk television with Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com, and we will talk to Denny Lane, formerly of the Moody Blues and Wings and Ginger Baker's band. And
that was my favorite Beatles song.
Denny Lane.
Denny Lane.
I wrote some lyrics. That's how we will introduce him on the stream at about 12:05.
Nice. He's in your ears and in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got some solution for that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And everything good with you, Bill?
Everything's great.
You've got a cookie in front of you,
a
cookie bar.
Mary Sandberg made these. Now, I have a skill. You know how a lot of people can guess your weight or your age? Yeah. I can guess what type of oven this was made in. I'm going to say an apt convection oven, probably the L600 series.
What an odd skill.
Yeah.
What a gift. What a strange but magnificent gift.
I'm very fortunate.
It's amazing.